Hello, Voltron fans, and welcome back to another episode of the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. We're covering episodes 8 and 9 tonight. We have a special guest with us, and it's going to be super fun. And team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I will never regret starting with this song.
Oh, you're just trying to just mess up my night is what's happening.
Don't I do that every time we come on this show?
True. I'm an angsty teenager all over again.
I know.
Get in the robot. But fun fact, like, seriously, I went to karaoke not too long ago with a bunch of friends at one of the, like, Japanese karaoke places, and we put this song on, and it was hilarious because we all, like, still kind of pretty much knew it. They were definitely making up some of the Japanese lyrics.
As you do when you don't speak the language and you karaoke. I've done karaoke in French sometimes, and I speak it kind of.
Yeah. Sort of.
For those of you who don't get the reference, I don't know if I can recommend watching Evangelion or not.
It'll
mess you up something wonderful.
It depends.
If you're
on
one of the children watching Voltron,
no,
wait until you're older.
No.
Wait till you're a teenager.
PG-13 back when PG-13 meant something.
True.
Anyway.
And movie straight up R.
Yeah. Right. Welcome back to the Voltron After Show. We are your pilots. We will be looking at episodes 8 and 9, Rebirth and Crystal Venom. I have with me Red Lion, Emma Fife.
That's me, Emma Fife. You can find me all over the internet at my name.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Hey guys, you can find me all over social media as atorres890.
Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
And I am Black Lion, Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. We have the hashtag ABTVVoltron. We have the live chat up. If you have something fun to say, put it there. Or if you have a question for our wonderful guest, Emily Iden, the voice of Shay.
Yay!
Hello!
Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. It's very exciting.
Welcome to the madhouse.
Yeah, yes. I'm thrilled with the item that you have brought along with you. Yeah. So number one, you wouldn't be lonely on the couch, but can you explain to us exactly who this is that you brought here with
I
you tonight?
I can. Voltron has lived at my house for several years before I was ever a part of this show. My husband is a super fan of Voltron, and so he, when he was a young guy in the 80s, he saved up all of his money. He said it cost him like $70.
In the 80s?
What?
Wow!
So this is something special. So it stayed in Chicago for a long time with his aunt until she felt he was ready to have it travel out west and join us, and it joined us on one of his milestone birthdays a few years ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so here it is. You can imagine he was really excited when Voltron back into his life.
Well, and I was going to say, he must have been pretty excited to be married to somebody who ended up being involved in this project.
He actually said, like, when I was auditioning, he said something to the effect of, if you were to get on Voltron, that would be like all my dreams. So the pressure was on when I was auditioning.
So did you just come home from recording sessions and smile? Be like, I'm under an NDA.
I did pretty much. It was just like that. Couldn't tell them too much, but...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that must have been fun when the series got released to, like, sit down with him and just watch his reaction during your episodes.
Oh, definitely. He had to go to work it came out at midnight or whatever
right.
But that the morning after, he had to go to work, but we got up at like 5:30 in the morning.
Aww.
So that we could watch, you know, as much as we could before he had
that's great.
Had to
that's
Aww.
Awesome.
That was very exciting.
It's as close to marathoning as you can get when you're a responsible adult.
Right.
Which I am not, because I stayed home from work.
I'm like, what? I mean, I love you, boss Michaelberg. Love you.
It took me 3 weeks to get through this show, because we were packing for a move at that point. So.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Emma and I just moved at
that
point.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep.
That was the first thing I watched on my new television in my new apartment.
Aww, that's nice.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was the case.
That was pretty early on for me, too. I remember it came out, and I had just been, like, unpacking stuff and, like, trying to make some semblance of a home. And, I just was like, Voltron came out. I'm just going to, like, sit and I'm going to watch this. And I was just, I hear it's really good. And then I come home and she's halfway through the pilot and I'm like, excuse me, are you watching Giant Robots without me?
I'm like, I can restart it. It's fine.
Yeah, she did, and it was glorious.
Yep. Yep. And for everybody in the chat, first of all, there is a lot of love for our special guest, Classic Voltron, as well as our special guest, Emily Iden. And for people who are wondering, there's a lot of debate about when we last used the Evangelion opening on an after show. For anyone who watches the Steven Universe after show, we used it as an opening like a few
couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yep. When we were doing Kiki's Pizza delivery.
But my question is, did you guys ever use it on the Legend of Korra after show? I was not at AfterBuzz at that time yet, so I don't know, and I was not involved in that show.
No, we did not.
That's actually a good idea. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
It was a very erratic airing schedule for Korra, but I think that was, we were just starting with the opening every time,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, convincing people to use that crazy anime as an opening. Let's do it. Let's do it. It's great. Let's swing into this. Let's talk about Rebirth, which is the only time this season where we split a two-parter between shows.
That is true.
I know.
Which is super fun. So we are back on the Balmera, and we have another... I can't get past this. Oh, my God. It's a laser lizard.
It is.
Lasers for days.
Which, by the way, I could honestly say that I don't remember any of the giant robots from the original Voltron show. Like... When I think about it, it's just like kind of a, I'm like, I think they were just generic giant monsters.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. I mean, I, and again, I may be wrong.
It might just be like that it's been years.
Yeah, I think it is kind of that. I mean, I did rewatch some of the original Voltron, like not long before this show came out, but they certainly, let's put it this way, the character designs for a lot of sort of the secondary sort of characters, be they sort of, you know, the NPC of the episode or the monster of the week, they weren't as, like, distinctive and colorful as the characters are in this series.
Yeah. It's like Power Rangers monsters. Yeah. You have a new one every week. You kind of start running out of ideas. Yeah. You will occasionally remember a really super cool one, but for the most part it's like... Well, they fought the thing, and I guess they learned a lesson.
Well, again, the plus side of having bad guys like these is not only do these ones have a distinct design that are very, very different from one another, and their abilities are very different, but they've also spaced them out in, like, a really good way so that when a giant monster shows up, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not like, there's another one. Oh, it's done. We beat it. No
we
big
have
deal.
Two this entire season.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they are both, good Lord, the designs on these things. I can't with the eyes everywhere and the laser for days.
That's so creepy. Yeah. I can't. Dude, I totally agree. Yeah, James Foran in the chat said the laser lizard was creepy as hell, and I agree.
Yeah, because
that's the reason we started with the Evangelion opening. This thing was an angel.
It was
an angel. That's it.
Looked. It reminded me a lot of like the first angel that you
see.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely with the long arms and everything like that.
Yep. Yeah. Now, Emily, are you particularly into the variety of giant robots versus giant robot
giant
monsters?
Everything else.
I don't know that I can say much about that, but I was that fight with that monster. It's just so exciting. I was particularly struck by the sound design of it.
Yes.
It actually like made my ears tingle.
Okay,
I don't know how else to describe it, but there was something of where sound would sort of cut out and then zoom back in, and I just thought it was so cool.
Yeah,
it was legitimately scary.
Yeah.
Totally. I just thought they were just little suction cups, and I was like, no, they're suction cups of doom. That's what they are. That is what they are.
But,
they're the worst.
But yeah, you're right. The sound design, it gives all of the impact of every hit like this weight to it, and it's very eerie sound design too that makes this very scary looking creature feel very scary.
And
too.
I actually didn't think that the creature was going to be fast until it like got up and started zooming around, and I was like, oh wow, no, you're fast and you have lasers coming
out. By the way, it just hovers. It doesn't walk. It hovers.
It's got laser feet.
Yeah,
it has tiny little legs.
Yeah. Yeah, there is
Johnny Bravo character.
There is, and as you say, Alexis, like
lasers for days.
There is sort of an extra level of terror that comes from, because you expect something that is so large to at least have the weak point of, okay, it's not particularly fast or maneuverable. That simply was not the case with this creature.
Yeah, because with our first monster, he was kind of stationary for a majority of the time.
But it was smart.
But it was smart.
It was a thinking monster.
Yeah. And then we have this guy who pretty much is just deadly in every way, shape, and form.
Totally. And then he just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's also so scary.
I couldn't deal with the eye moving.
Yeah.
That was too much.
Yeah, it had no blind spot.
Yeah.
I love that they started with, we saw a couple episodes ago, Hiblet Words, that they were starting with what was essentially a space chameleon.
Yeah.
And then they took this and made it this giant laser thing. And it still very much acted like a lizard. It was very quick. It was very reactive. It was obviously instinctive instead of thinking. And it was just scary as hell.
So cool. Mm-hmm.
They must have run out of convicts.
That's terrible.
You know, it's only a matter of time until we see them taking an innocent prisoner and making them.
Oh, no! Stop it! No!
Tell me I'm wrong!
No, you're right. You're right.
Oh, we're going to have a Matt Holt monster, and it's going to be the worst thing ever.
God. Oh, no.
What are you doing to me? I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Can't take these feels, no.
I don't think we'll ever go there, but it's a possibility.
Don't know. It's a Netflix show.
You're not going to put it past this show.
It's a Netflix show, but it's still a kid's show.
True,
and like I said, with the whole accidentally killing your family thing, there's a line that you can't... I know you're not, and it's wonderful. There's a line that you can't cross without breaking something.
Yeah.
And, you know, shows like Jessica Jones and shows like other ones, like, we've broken it already. This is where we live.
Oh, right.
Voltron is not that kind of show.
So the chat is saying they're on board with you, Katie, but they're saying that Pidge's dad is going to be a monster.
No, because, see, he was never a fighter, and you don't take something that can't fight and make it into...
Not to jump ahead to the next episode, but somewhere further on down the series, who knows... Shiro could end up as one of the...
Shiro's a sleeper agent. Let's be real.
I was like, he's probably already a monster on the inside, but not by choice. Not by choice.
We haven't gotten to crystal venom yet.
Yes.
Let's save
I'm just saying it's a possibility at this point, and I'm really sad. Can we move on to a new topic?
You're never going
to
come back after this discussion, are you? Who are these people? I'm stuck in a studio with the crazy people.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my word.
Good Lord. So this episode is just everything that could go wrong did go wrong at the same time. Because we have the laser monster from hell. We have a dying Balmera.
Yeah.
Because at this point, it's just like, I'm done. I've been giving up crystals for weeks. They took my kidneys. They didn't have the courtesy to leave me in an ice bath. And now there's a laser lizard on me. I'm done. I have given up.
I'd be on the same boat, because that's a lot. That's a lot happening on the surface of my skin.
Like, the continual taking of external kidneys.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No.
It didn't even give you a juice
opposite.
Box. You guys. Galra are the worst black market surgeons.
Oh, terrible. Yeah, no, I agree.
But yeah, talk about like high stakes, because you have a planet collapsing in on itself, a population to evacuate, a ship that is on its last legs, and a giant evil death monster that seems to be impervious to attack.
Yeah. So, and we have a population that needs to evacuate, and for a while, refuses to.
I mean, they're trying to do kind of like, well, maybe not the Titanic. That's a terrible example. But like,
I'm sorry, you don't get to talk anymore about, I'm terrible on purpose. That was
Yes. But the fact of like the captain going down with the ship kind of thing.
I feel like they almost felt guilty.
Yeah, because the Balmera's given them so much, so it's their best way to repay the Balmera.
Yeah, and I think too that, you know, with the Balmerans, you are dealing with, and this is something I know I talked about a little on the last episode, where it's like you are dealing with an oppressed people, and that in of itself is already, you know, an interesting sort of story dynamic to play around with. And I really like sort of, I think they were portrayed very realistically. I mean, especially I'm really a sucker for like the character that has this inner strength that they didn't know that they had. And, you know, we certainly see that with a number of the Balmerans, including Shay.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, this is a people that has been oppressed for literally thousands of years.
Yeah.
Entire generations have gone by without having seen the sky. They don't know what it means to be free.
Well, that's what I love is when Hung talks to Shay about being free, and she's like, free?
What? Yeah, what is you that?
I don't understand.
I've never even heard that word.
Yeah. What does that mean? Like a dog listening to a high-pitched sound. Just kind of tilt your head and stare.
Like that?
I don't know. What did you think about all of this? About the Balmerans refusing to go and being turned around by one heck of a speech?
I like that they are turned. I mean, I love that allure. Because I think it's neat that you see sort of Shay rallying to the Voltron cause in the earlier episodes, and then you see Rax sort of, you know, realize they need to help the Paladins when they're stuck, they're trapped in that center of the Balmera. So I do think it's neat to sort of give Allura that power to turn the tide, sort of.
I totally agree. Happening. And I think, too, that one of the things that I liked about the way that this episode went was the fact that the Balmerans, it would have not been as realistic or interesting if the Balmerans had just been like, you know what, screw it, we're part of the rebellion now. Right. But they, like, I thought the way that they went about it was really realistic, where it's like, we get it. Okay, like, we gotta help the Voltron cause. But initially, as you say, it's like, they were like, yeah, we're totally on board with Voltron, but we can't leave.
Well, and I like the part of the speech. Again, I find it a little hard, like, okay, you were turned around by one epic speech. Yeah, all right. We only have 22 minutes in this episode. But I did love the part about, you know, prevent this from happening to someone else. Yeah. You know what this is like. If this is too far gone, make it so someone else doesn't suffer the same fate. Mm-hmm. Empathy. Because that is what these people are based on. They literally have an empathic relationship with the planet.
I also think it's special that I think that's the first time, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the first time we hear Shay's grandmother's.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that, I think, adds a lot of weight to that speech and to the effect Allura has on all the people.
I liked seeing that there were so many Balmerans, because we only technically got to see
one family.
Yeah, we got to see one family, but I loved as she was saying her speech, we were going through levels and levels, and we were seeing families, we were seeing singles, we were seeing so many,
like,
different
children.
People.
Children.
I love the obvious gangly teenagers.
Yes.
They were happy.
Yeah, but it was just kind of cool to see that, like, hey, we are trying to do this big cause because there are so many people on this one planet, but you can't see them because they're all underground. Like, that was more moving, and I teared up at that, because I was like, I don't want any of these people to die, because there's so many on this planet, too. We gotta save them all, some way.
Okay, we're gonna save them all. Oh, that happened.
Yeah.
But
it's also, we have to save all of these people from this dying planet, basically, but at the same time, you also see that these people care tremendously about their planet, which is more of a living, breathing thing than, like, say our planet is. Like, it's more like sentient,
a little different. Well, yeah, and for Allura, this, like, hearing them say, no, I'd rather go down with the ship, you know, thank you for your kindness, but this is the way we want to do things, that probably hits really hard for her, because she was never given that option.
Yeah,
you know, her planet is gone, and she was never given the opportunity to fight for it, or to go down with the ship or any of that. And so seeing people, you know, choose to not be saved, like, that probably just breaks her heart, and she just can't deal with that.
And I like
feel like, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that I like that she used the fact that she didn't even get to, like, be with her planet when it was, you know, being destroyed, but that they could understand what was happening because of it. So,
well, I feel like them just giving up the ghost is such a foreign concept to her.
Yeah.
Because she's been fighting for so long, and now she knows she's one of the few people left to fight. So it's like, what do you mean you're giving up? This is not an acceptable option.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again,
then we kind of get into I know better than you do territory, which is weird territory.
Mm-hmm. Again, with a little bit more time, it probably could have been parsed out in a little bit more of a less morally superior sort of way.
If you had a three-parter.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I think it is somewhat justified in that, you know, the Altaians are clearly a very noble race of people who, you know, though yes, they are very altruistic and they are good and they want to, like, rescue the universe, like, they're
a little pushy.
Extremely pushy.
And she really does know more than that.
Yeah.
When we're talking about that, you know, they don't really have much concept of what is beyond.
And
that there is something else out there.
Yeah, the Balmerans are a very sort of simple people. Now, obviously, you know, Shay was a character who was created specifically for this show. Now, when you, like, went in and you, like, auditioned for it, what sort of, like, breakdown did they give you? Did they use code names? Did they have... Because I know a lot of the time going into VO auditions, it's like...
They give you the bare bones of character description.
Bob, Joe, and Fred.
I will say, I loved Shay from the moment I got the sides. I really did, because it was a nice description. I mean, they sort of said, you know, she's an alien rock like monster. I think. And there was no picture, so I didn't have any, you know, real concept of what they were envisioning. But I remember that part of the breakdown said, I think it was, she has a gentle heart, but great bravery.
Yeah. Aww.
And that's what spoke to me. And it also actually said something about, you know, how she hasn't seen the sky. She longs to see the sky, and that she sneaks up to the, you know, to try to get closer and closer to the sky. So it was a pretty colorful description, actually. And I felt from just that breakdown that I had a sense of what I thought, you know, Shay was. And then I just think she's beautifully written, like, in those episodes.
Yeah.
And I feel that the way they wrote her in those episodes, it was all in the sides I received and in the description, actually. It was one of the sort of neater, more exciting auditions I've ever had. And obviously it turned out well.
But besides the sky portion, that's actually my favorite part of Shade, like, in general. But did you have something besides that you loved recording, whether it was with everybody or by yourself or anything of that nature?
I loved it all, but it really is the sort of the sky. Yeah. That all of that is what has sort of spoken to me for personal reasons, I guess. Like, I've always been sort of obsessed with the night. I actually have a constellation tattoo.
Whoa,
I mean,
oh, that's
like,
awesome.
You know, Cassiopeia. It is Cassiopeia. And so, actually, one of my jobs that I have is I narrate planetarium shows at Griffith Observatory.
Oh, yes.
Which is
my favorite thing ever.
Well, so literally, like, we start our show saying we tell stories about the sky here.
Yeah.
And so I personally just love that, you know, I'm so used to sort of looking up at the planetarium sky and everything.
Yeah.
And so then to sort of bring what I love about the sky into what Shay doesn't really know exists, but, you know, senses is up there and what she longs to see
and
all that.
Perfect for you.
Awesome. I mean, I felt it was.
Yeah.
You know, I felt that before and not gotten the part, but but I really hoped that this one would work out.
Yeah.
Now, I know we can't go into spoiler territory here. I know there's NDAs involved, but if we were to get Shay back in some capacity in season 2, what would you like to see?
I can't say what I know or don't know. And mostly it's that I really don't know anything.
But hypothetical territory.
So this is just Emily wishing and hoping, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see her again. I'd like to see her hang out with Hunk a little more.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. they've made these allusions to the other Balmera around. So, you know, in my daydreaming, I think it would be neat to... What I imagine is, you know, some situation where they need to get all the Balmera
on board,
get them into the alliance and all that. So I think Shay would be a great ambassador.
She could be the leader of the Balmera revolution.
That's my wish.
I want this so much.
I would love to see Shay come back with everybody and just be like, we're here to help. And I'm like, yes, you are.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, Balmera are the fuel source for a lot of these ships.
Yeah.
You cut off the fuel source because it's fighting back.
Yeah. No, I could totally
we wind up
that.
In outer space Mad Max for Cassiopeia.
Yes. Amazing.
No, we already kind of are with the dumpster fire and everything.
Okay, well, we actually said that on the air.
As far as we're concerned, the Galra Empire is a large, extensive dumpster fire.
Yes.
I saw the gif that someone sent you. I did see that.
That is still one of my favorite gifts. Out of the dumpster fire.
I feel like I really appreciate about, like, Shay as a character is how, like, just kind of
gentle, like all the Balmerins, that like they portrayed them as being these very like gentle, sort of peaceful creatures. And I like, and again, that whole thing about the sky, like that is such a tangible emotional response. You know what I mean? When you like think about just like the desire to see the sky, or like having lived underground your whole life and never seeing the sky, like that, that's something that like to put yourself in that position is so easy to imagine, and like it visually elicits such an emotional response.
Well,
and
to me, that reminded me a lot of Undertale.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what hit me there.
People living underground wanting to see the sky.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking of like The Secret of Nim, kind of like
that
too. But like, that's why Shay is one of my favorite. Like, not to say that she's a side character, but like, since she's not in the main full story,
supporting character.
Yeah, supporting. Yes. There you go. Yes. I was trying to think of the role, but supporting cast, and it was just these two episodes, not the next one that we talked about last week, and this one was, it hit me on an emotional level that like my fiance was just like, hey, how are you doing? I was like, she just wants to see the sky. My dog's just like, what's happening?
Well, it's such a sunrise bit at the end here must have just wiped you out.
No, that was it. I was like, better turn it off. I can't go back.
That sunrise is like one of the prettiest things I've ever seen.
Right. So good. Yes. I just got chills like remembering goosebumps. And I love that. I mean, because you just put yourself in Shay's shoes, where it's like, these people literally like come from the sky to like liberate her people.
In the course of a day, they have taken out the infrastructure of the oppressors on the planet and destroyed a giant monster that was sent there to kill them all, and revived a dying planet. Like, any one of those things over the course of a month or a year would be incredible. But this all happened in 24 space hours.
Yeah.
Or however long a day is.
However many ticks.
Yes. However many ticks that is.
Yeah. But yeah, to kind of touch on the relationship she had with Hunk, on the one hand, I totally understand that their planet is now safe from the Gull, at least not safe from the Galra, but that the Galra have been, at the moment, expelled from the planet.
Yeah.
But I was a little disappointed that she didn't get to go with them.
Yeah.
I know her family's still there, but I was like, you said you were going to show her the universe.
I feel like she'd be super fish out of water, though.
Yeah. I mean, aren't they all, though? They're all away from home.
Point.
But I mean, it would be nice to see Shay come back, and then maybe I could take her on a...
I do hope she gets to see more of the wonders of the
universe. I agree. I have faith that she will come back. I mean, obviously, we can't say for sure, but I'd put money on it.
I would be very surprised. Like I said, I think that all of the side characters that we get, all of the secondary characters, everyone that we get introduced to in an episode or two that hasn't come back, that isn't one of the main ones, they'll be back.
Yeah,
they will all be back.
I'm just hoping.
The Avatar people are running this. They are the masters of, you've known these characters for two episodes. Here they are in the season finale, like, oh, yeah.
I will say, I do enjoy Andrew in the chat, his comment that, you know, if Hunk ever gets incapacitated, then Shay will pilot the yellow lion.
But not before I have a magical lion carpet ride. Okay? See the universe, okay?
You can actually take a pretty girl on a ride in your lion and not get handcuffed to a tree at the end of it.
Yes, that would be great. We'll get into that, but yes.
Doing what Lance does, but more successful.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to get into my blue lion counterpart.
Do it. Next episode.
Yep.
We will talk about all of that in the horror movie that is coming up.
Oh, that episode's so good.
I loved that we got a shoulder cannon. I love the, it's not working. It's because we're not Voltron yet.
That was amazing. Oh, yeah. Well, and the fact that, you know, that there were so many really good comedic interactions between Shiro and Hunk throughout this whole episode.
Yes.
Like, when Shiro was basically like, all right, we're going to do evasive maneuvers and
it
just
can't
distract
do us all
it.
At once.
Oh. Yeah, we're
it can.
Yeah. We're gonna distract it and then distract and evade. And Hunk's like, I'm a little nervous we're gonna be like real good at the distraction.
And the provoking.
At the provoking and not so good at the evasion.
Yeah.
There was a lot of
You
really
remember
good
how
Hunk
I told you we
episode.
Didn't have to beat it? We're gonna beat it. Yeah.
Like, and that's when you sit there and go, yep, he's 25. Like,
he's a big kid.
Well, and of course, isn't this the form thingy?
Yeah!
moment.
love that. It's like, we haven't formed Voltron yet. Oh, right. Got it. Right. I knew that. Right. Yeah.
Which,
I love the giant shoulder cannon with the multiple missiles. Yeah. Oh, my. What a perfect weapon for Han.
Animation was
perfect.
Which is really exciting, finding out that different Bayards do different things and create different weapons. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we haven't seen them from Pidge yet, and correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't seen them from Lance yet either.
Seen Lance. No, yeah. And we have the gaping hole that the Black Bear leaves.
That's disappointing.
We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
I know. Jeez.
But and I really liked that they had, for each of these giant monsters, they also have to use a different strategy.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, no single monster is going to be able to, you're going to be able to take it down the same way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they even said right from the get-go in this episode with, you know, the angel lizard monster cannon laser eyes.
It doesn't have a name. No. It's just evil.
Yeah.
It's just evil.
But anyway, that, you know, they said going into it, they're like, it was, Keith was like, oh, you know, if it's the same as the monster that we fought before, we know how to beat it. And so they, like, take that exact approach to it, and it's like, this is not the same as the last monster we fought.
Well, the opposite of that.
Yep. Poor Pidge keeps getting hosed. The shield is hers. And it's just like, nope.
Yeah, no, that's never that's works. Rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, talking about how beautiful the sunset was, like, probably my favorite instance of animation in this entire episode was just the moment where they hit it and the monster is just flying over the cavernous hole.
Oh,
and
it's beautiful.
Just, it was so good. There's so much talent
in
the animation staff here.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Just the framing that we talked a lot. We'll talk a lot about framing shots and whatnot in this next episode because they really know their horror movie framing.
Yeah, I was going to say before we move on, I loved our evil lizard guy in a DBZ spirit.
Yeah.
It's happening. But anyway, I just wanted to throw more animation in there.
I was definitely screaming about the why has nobody double tapped this giant monster
yet? Thank you.
It's down, but it might not be out. We really need to make sure that nope, there it is.
Nope.
No one ever listens to me.
Or Zombieland.
I love that the Palmera, I read the Palmera is absolutely fed up with your laser shenanigans.
Yeah. No,
like,
I completely agree.
Done.
It was like, yep, nope, Honey Bunch is a nope.
Which, I mean, not to dwell too much, I know we need to move on to the next episode, but does anybody think it's real? I feel like there's a lot more to Princess Allura being able to have, like, this magical connection that she made with the planet because of Quintessence and magical space princess magic.
Right.
But I feel like there's a lot more to it than that, and I'm sure they'll go into it more in like future seasons, but I'm like, wow, like there's clearly a lot about this character we don't know in terms of what she's capable of.
And I love that this wasn't a power that just came straight out of left field.
Yeah.
Like, they've talked about this. When we first got introduced to the Balmera, Coran was talking about it.
And
then we have this, like, okay, it's the logical conclusion of all that foreshadowing we've been setting up.
Totally.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I like that Coran gives us a good enough detail to be like, this is what we did in the past, and that's why she can, you know, this is happening. I'm like, thanks for that, buddy. Because I feel like I wouldn't know what's happening.
And that no one thought of it until the ship landed, and it was like, oh,
look at the sparkles. Well,
right. Again, they at that point, they're like, oh, the planet's dying.
We are desperate. We will try anything.
Also, she pulled a Star Trek Into Darkness getting down to
the planet.
Oh my
god, can you just talk about how cool
planet dive.
Badass. Sorry. That it's just the her just coming down. I was like, oh my god, that's Allura! Just like what Hunk said.
Yeah. Well, and I like too that, you know, when everybody was sort of expressing concern about her going down to the planet, they're like, that thing's gonna see you and it's gonna just like laser you to death immediately. She's like, let me worry about that. You do you guys. It's fine.
You have so one much. Job, you better do it.
Yeah.
Distract.
And they
did. And again, and ultimately it goes back to, you know, it's the thing that I really like about the Balmerans in general, but certainly about Shay, that like she is a very like gentle and feminine character, and that again, like, a lot of Allura's powers are that kind of, like, nurturing, like, Mother Earth sort of power.
Yeah.
And that's, like, that's fantastic.
Yes.
I love that we have three distinct women in this show, and they're all so completely different
from
each other.
Yep.
Just like,
Yeah,
and they're all strong in different ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not generic strong female character, but very, very different.
Strong characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of, any final thoughts on this episode?
I want to get into the horror episode.
Me too. Any final thoughts on the episode?
I don't think so. I want to talk about Crystal Venom.
I love this episode so much.
There's a reason I chose the Five Nights at Freddy's shirt tonight, you guys. You mean a straight up horror movie. If we hadn't had Evangelion, we would have started with like the Friday the 13th theme,
which
or
would
something.
Have been just my
Halloween theme. Yeah.
The Halloween theme.
Yeah. Yeah. My roommate called this episode Gundam Event Horizon.
Yes! I was thinking the
God
same
bless Lola. She's not wrong.
She never watched any Voltron at all, and I was rewatching this episode, and she just happened to like wander into the living room. She's like, "This is like Event Horizon. This is great."
It is.
Basically,
oh my God.
Allura is Sam Neill.
Yes,
I am home.
Yeah. The king is Sam Neill's dead wife.
Oh wow!
But she did say about the end of the episode, she's like, "Man, it would have been better if Event Horizon could have ended this way."
The ending of Event Horizon
is just, as the nostalgia critic put it, an evil shrug.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yes.
I mean, I love that movie, don't get me wrong.
No,
the thing that really pinged me about this one is setting up the whole thing with Sendak, and this is how we share the memories, and this is how we make AI, and I'm like, this is Halo.
The only difference
is that it doesn't kill the brain donor. This is how we make AI in Halo. Yeah. I'm not okay.
And then Alpha went rampant.
Do
we all love how Pidge was just like jumping around like and looking at stuff?
Consistent with her. Every time there's a new piece of tech, she's like, "Hello. You called?" Yes.
There's just talking about Event Horizon. There's even a moment where a character gets shot out of an arrow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Are you familiar with Event Horizon?
Now I feel like I am.
Yeah, I mean, you basically saw a better version of Event Horizon by watching this episode.
If you're not a horror movie fan, don't seek out Event
Horizon. I am
not
a horror movie fan. I've seen the Nostalgia Critic review. Good enough.
My fiance is huge on horror, and he's like, "Babe, you gotta watch this. You're gonna hate it. You're gonna watch it, and you'll just hate it. I don't like horror. I'm like with Katie. I don't like horror movies, but he loves them. So we watch them together, and he's just like, "Look how silly it is."
Okay, so when it gets like that, you send Megan to your house to watch horror movies with him, and you hang out with me, and we'll watch Robots in Disguise or something.
Every year since we've been together, and my friends, a whole month of October, they just watch horror movies and TV shows only. You cannot
watch like anything else.
You are welcome.
Sounds like Christmas.
At any time.
So that was going to be my extension into that. But like, that's one of the days in October we had to watch that. And I was just like, what is happening?
If you need an escape, you are welcome anytime.
Yes, finally.
But Emily, I'm with you. I absolutely loved this episode. This might be my favorite episode of the season because I am a total sucker for any time it's like, I like those sort of psychological horror films where it, like, plays on your fears and desires and, like, the house is trying to kill you.
So we want to talk about Shiro, then.
Yeah. Let's just go there.
So worried about him.
For me, the episode is all about Allura and her father.
Yeah,
for me too.
And so, you know, that's sort of near the end, so we can talk about that. But that's what, for me,
it was very, very Anastasia.
Yes!
Oh my God!
Yes! No, like, these three episodes were the ones that just tore up my heartstrings, my soul, my hopes and dreams. It was all gone. Exploded, like, just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I knew something about Voltron, you know, but I knew about those three episode shades in, and so this episode just, like, sucker punched me.
And for a character, you know, King Alphor, for a character that we haven't really seen a whole lot of, like, what an emotional gut punch at the very end of this episode, and the fact that she's now lost him forever, that's devastating.
I ended up sobbing by the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up with it. Well, I call it my Doctor Who headache because I get it whenever I'm watching one of those Doctor Who episodes.
Right.
That makes sense.
And I cry so much that
your head
starts to hurt.
Yeah,
it
feels pain.
And I felt like that at the end of this.
I know that pain well.
Even me rewatching it.
Henceforth, we call my Voltron Doctor Who headache.
Exactly. It's like Angels Take Manhattan. Like sadness.
Let's not talk about
Journey's End.
Sorry to get us off track.
Even just the way, you know, the way that she manually has to destroy
it. She hugged him to death.
Okay, I was like, in my brain, I was like, did she just hug that thing? And she smashed it with her hug.
She crushed it to death.
For me, like, any time a character
is faced with that emotional decision, and they're the one that has to make the choice to let go of this thing that is ultimately detrimental.
Mm-hmm. Ah, it's killer.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And not only that, but like this was like the perfect time to have this particular episode because we've talked about it before. Voltron is so good about actions have consequences.
Yep.
She's still physically exhausted mm-hmm. and probably emotionally spent from having saved a planet in the way that Altea couldn't have been saved.
Yeah.
And so like this is the perfect time to sort of, you know, pounce on her emotionally yeah. speaking. Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you're going to try to get her at any point when she's at her most vulnerable, yeah. this was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and a shout out to Kimberly Brooks. I just oh, thought yeah. she was God. So, she's wonderful in the role at all
yeah,
times.
Yeah, she
but
is,
this,
but
this episode,
it was particularly really particularly good. Yeah, Catherine Nguyen in the chat says Alfor's memories of him and baby Alora just oh. ripped my heart out. I didn't need it anyway.
That whole yes. sequence of being in the dark and the only light that you can see is her memories. I was just like, I'm done. I can't do this right
did
now.
It didn't look like there were any pictures of her with her mom.
No,
yeah, she had mentioned her mom in one of the like at some point in that episode.
Yeah, I was gonna say, anybody find that weird?
I mean, I was
single dad Alfor.
I mean, there's that. But I was also, I mean, I don't know if it's like a Disney movie where the mom's just gone, but like,
I think that's what we all just
assumed because they're so used to it. But I was thinking that because it was all the memories of her dad,
yeah.
that it was just going to be memories of her.
That's true.
And
yeah.
her dad.
Which makes sense.
Because yeah. that was specifically what she was confronting was, yes. you know, obviously her mom in one way or another seems to have been out of the picture for a long time. It's, you know, when she woke up, it wasn't like, oh, where are my parents? It was, oh, where's my dad?
Yeah.
So,
I think her dad was the last person she yeah, saw when she went on.
Yeah, and I think that, it, you know, so obviously, like, she's, I think she's let go of mom more emotionally
like,
speaking.
Like, whenever, yeah, I have to. Whenever her, I think it's safe to assume that her mother has, been gone for
been
a long
while.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she had probably already made peace with that before all this started going down.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, all right, we are very, very short on time. I guess we're keeping a tight ship tonight, so we have to...
Let's get through this one.
We're going to have to burn through this, you guys.
We can do it.
We, basically, the Galra Crystal has... We've infected the dumpster fire into this. All the systems are messed up.
The ship has become the dumpster fire.
And heading towards a dumpster fire.
It's a large dumpster fire.
That was a giant dumpster fire.
Everything's a dumpster fire.
And Lance very astutely observes that the castle may be haunted.
I knew it the entire time.
It's a big embodiment of advanced supernatural technology that cannot be explained by science alone. That does make it seem a bit haunted, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I have lived in a haunted house. So, let me tell you, sometimes you just... Okay, we're done.
No. I mean, not to get into, like, super detail, but when Lance got caught in the thing, that is actually one of my worst fears, is getting caught, like, in an elevator or something.
Oh, no.
So when that happened, I was like, yep, we're together. We're totally
so
compatible.
That, and then it was the airlock.
And there was that. I was
He's
like,
going to have a fear of small enclosed spaces.
Which I already have. So I was like, Lance.
And the gladiator chasing Key.
Oh.
Like, in simulation, Ed's like, oh, God, we're going to die.
Well, and, like... Way to make the training robot so menacing with that HAL 9000 eye.
And again, with the horror movie shots, we have all the Dutch angles around Shiro going mm-hmm. crazy, and we have the blade coming through the door and forcing it open, and just
the
that
shining
red
much?
Eye.
Yes. The Shining, and also Terminator. Yes. Very
T-1000.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
all horror movies all the time up in here.
Yeah, except for the food one.
That's playing hunk and pidge for laughs, and I love that they did that because we needed that levity.
We did, yeah.
We did.
And because just the whole, leave it for Karam?
Well, that's not scary, that's fun!
And the fact that Hunk was like, Pidge, we were just attacked by food. Like, we can't trust food. Then, like, the entire
we are lost of the culture.
Yeah. I love how Lance was like, I almost got shot into space. And he's like, well, food. Evil food.
And the whole zero gravity thing. Curse my tiny short arms.
No, it's my favorite line. It's just her
saying, I hate those little things. Or something like that. He said, I hate those little things.
Yeah. I was trying to swim in zero G. Like, we've all seen this in cartoons and it works. And then here it's like,
nope.
No, we're following the rules here.
That was what I was thinking. Like, honestly, when like, Pidge came up with the plan of, like, okay, Hunk, I want you to kick me as hard as you can. I was like,
no, we're friends.
This is not going to work.
No,
and it was great.
I was like, love just seeing her ricochet.
Just her being like, yep, nope.
This is I was like, where are the breaks?
And this episode even did a little bit of Lights Out before Lights Out was a movie, with the flickering lights and like getting closer.
And using recorded sound bites to call for help. Just,
oh, geez.
And we have to talk about Shiro and Sendak, because this is the part of the episode where I was like, oh, I'm dying.
I was going to say, obviously,
I'm very biased.
Now, here's a question. Is this something that the ship is doing, or is this just something that's in Shiro's head?
Half a dozen of the other.
Little column A, little column B.
I agree with you. I think it is a combination of the two of them. I mean, obviously, like, terrible things were done to Shiro during the time that he was a captain.
And he probably doesn't remember things.
Do we think it's the technology that's messing with his brain?
I don't know. I think it might be some of that. I think a lot of it is kind of PTSD.
Yeah, someone that said Space Dad's having really bad PTSD.
Bit that got me is that you're a broken soldier, you can't hold out forever. Him saying that to Sendak, and I'm like, those don't sound like your words.
Nah.
That sounds like something that's been living in the corners of your mind that you haven't noticed.
Yes.
Like that little nest of spiders that you don't realize is there, and you turn around and you're like, oh god, how did that get there?
Don't talk about that viral video.
Yeah. There's a video like that?
Yes.
Oh god.
That's what I thought you were referencing.
No! I don't need this in my life. I just have had that experience before where it's like sudden spiders.
Oops.
That's Shiro's entire brain is just sudden spiders.
James Foran referred to Shiro as, it's just Shiro being the Winter Paladin.
Yeah.
See, Shiro is like, why is he like Agent Washington? And I'm like, he's traumatized as anything.
He's got
a
metal arm, and he's definitely, I think there's a little control kind of going on.
People have drawn comics of Shiro meeting Bucky, and it's the funniest thing.
Oh, yeah, no, like if Hagar just reads off that list of words.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Yes, they've drawn comics of that, too. It's wonderful.
Catherine in the chat said, the quiet vacuum of space is terrifying. Steven Universe is bubbled anyone?
Oh, that was a terrifying episode.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Space is scary. If there's anything this and Gravity and Event Horizon have taught me, it's that space is scary.
Well, yeah.
And we also get, do you really think a monster like you could be a Voltron Paladin? And this is what has me thinking that this is just Shiro's mind playing tricks on him, and that these are his insecurities given voice.
Yeah.
He has, this is the most we've seen him break down around the team ever.
Mm-hmm. Did we actually think that when he punched the casing that he actually did wake up? Or
every time we saw him open his eyes, it would cut back to it, and his eyes are still closed.
I was
going to
say, everything that was happening in this scene was 100% in Shiro's head.
Oh, yeah.
But how well done. Like, with Sendak's face being covered by the light, but you still see his robot eye.
Now, Emily, obviously, I'm sure you're a little bit familiar with old school Voltron, being married to someone who is clearly a super fan. So you know that Shiro, his character in the original Go Lion, got killed off, then Allura ended up piloting his lion. Do you think that Shiro is long for this world?
I don't know. I hope so. I want to keep Josh on the show. I don't know. I mean, I would, from what we've seen in, you know, later episodes, it seems like maybe Allura has some other path she's going to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily taking over a lion. So I hope we get to keep Shiro around.
I'm still down for the theory that he's a sleeper agent.
Yeah.
Like, I want it in the best and worst kinds of ways.
No, I totally see this going full Winter Soldier.
There's also the idea that he has a tracking chip in his arm.
Yeah, and that's
because,
why they
again,
know where
Allura
they are.
Brought up, how do they keep finding
and
us?
And that was the giant red flag for me. I'm like, they're using Shiro. That's what's happening.
This is happening. This is not the first time that Aerobeast has nearly landed literally on top of him. They can always track him down.
Nope. I think Shiro is just a giant beacon of light of like, yeah, there they are.
No, that's like, if this one, we're arming this one in more ways than one.
Oh, that was terrible.
But we're making this one into a weapon. On the off chance that he slips his leash, we need to be able to get him back.
It's true.
There's also the theory that they sent him out there on purpose to go find the blue line.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So many fan theories. I love them. I love you all.
But you know, also sort of a loose thread that's now out there is that they launch Sendak into space. And oh my God. Is it wrong to, like, hope that he becomes, like, Khan and that he just gets his revenge on them and, like, full Wrath of Khan style?
I just want him to be, like, adopted by a planet of fluffy bunnies or something like that. Like, he lands on the sweetest, most innocent planet and every attempt to conquer is just met with...
We love you. Yeah. Nah, I want him to go you full con. Yes,
we are eternally grateful. Like,
yes. Yeah, I'm with Megan though. I want like the next season to have a Wrath of Khan episode.
Oh my God! Like, oh hey, I just want to be like he's still alive, and then Lance going, oh hey, you survived the vacuum of space. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Oh my word!
No body, no death, you guys.
But yeah, you said it yourself. These guys are very good about like. Tying up loose ends.
I'm just thinking of the instant regret. I mean, I know he's probably not feeling it because he was having a moment, but in my brain, I was like, as soon as that thing went flying down, I was like, what?
And with the cracked glass, I was like,
I don't think
that's
he actually
probably
cracked
not
it.
Long for this world.
I think that was also in his head. I don't think he actually managed to crack the thing.
I hope not.
Because when you saw really it go down, it wasn't cracked.
Well, because then our Wrath of Khan dreams will never happen.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and I need crazy. A Wrath of Khan in season 2. Yes.
Yeah, we found his dehydrated corpse in a cabin somewhere.
That's just good right now.
So bummed. Wasted potential.
You're on a panel with me.
That's true. It's just like Desmond the Moon Bear. How did I get here? Sorry.
I do not understand that reference.
Never mind. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Later. So the long and short of it is the Galra dumpster fire corrupted King Alfor's AI, and we... He basically tries to throw them into the sun.
Yeah.
Like, Was it a dying star?
It was a dying star.
It was a sun.
Yeah, exactly.
And so both chilling and heartbreaking to see the AI fizzing back and
flicker.
Forth.
Oh yeah, my God, that was so great.
Yeah. That was where the tears started and then it stopped.
Again, just talking about really sad, it's really going to be sad to not have that voice actor around anymore because he's so good.
Yeah. Well, and you posited that Alfor might be alive out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Which would be wild.
I feel like, you know, characters who are dead should stay dead to an extent, but to be fair, we don't know what happened to him, and I think it'd be really interesting if he was still alive in some capacity.
We assume that he went down with the planet ship.
Yes.
But again, we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure. He might still be out there somewhere.
Yep.
All right. Oh, man, do we have any final thoughts on this episode?
I need more horror anime episodes.
Yeah,
I would love that.
Do we have any final thoughts from chat?
No, everyone's just talking about poor Sven / Shiro.
Sven.
Oh, Sven. Pretty much everyone's talking about Winter Soldier.
He spent so much time in that hospital.
A lot of people are just saying, Sendak!
Sendak's only mostly dead.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm not dead yet.
You can't see him, and he's in a pod. He's both alive and dead.
I agree with Paul, where he's like, wonder what's up with Allura's mom, if she is actually dead, since nobody.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's a Disney princess, so we can assume that she never existed.
Probably.
Again, something interesting, and I know we've brought this up on the panel before, it would be interesting if her dad was the Yellow Lion. How interesting would it be if both of her parents were former paladins?
Yeah.
That would be great. I would like that a lot.
Yeah, because we haven't seen the other paladins from Alfor's generation.
Wait, oh my gosh, give me the backstory for, like, past paladins of Voltron.
That How did so you great. Make Voltron?
Yeah.
How did that occur?
Who sat there and thought, lions.
Five of them.
Lions.
And then we'll put them together,
and then
it'll be
different
great.
Colors, and it'll be super cool.
You mean like in a pyramid? No.
Like
a form
person.
Of man.
Like a giant man with a sword and other cool weapons.
It's so crazy. It just might work. It's one of those things where, like, when you get engineers together and you get them really drunk and they come up with schematics for all this crazy stuff.
Oh my God, I never thought of it.
Only the Altaians had magic to back it up.
So, like, they wake up the next morning and there's Voltron, and it's like, what did we do last night?
You can tell that it has some miles on it. Like, when you see the Voltron figure, it's scuffed up.
That's my favorite thing about Voltron, especially this series, is that you get to see the scuffs. My favorite thing about the entire design of Voltron.
That's one of my favorite details.
Yeah. And there's so much. I know we can't say enough good things about the animation staff, but just... It's those little tiny details that really make this a really great show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Chat wants to know, Emily, what your Twitter handle is, because people missed the beginning of the episode.
You can find me at Emily Iden. So it's just at EmilyEiden.
Sweet.
Awesome. All right,
well, we are hitting wrap up at this point. Real quick, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes. Real quick. Thank you to everyone who has left a review. We adore you. You are what keeps us on the air. Rate, comment, subscribe, leave a review that lets our producers know that you like us here talking about Giant Robot Lions and that we will be able to continue to talk about Giant Robot Lions when season 2 comes about in the mythical future. We're not quite sure. Sometime this year? Question mark? I don't think Supposedly. We have any new reviews from last week. We had do. One from the UK. I don't have it pulled up. I know it's there. I got your message on Tumblr. Thank you. The UK likes us too.
Yay!
You are a lovely human being and I adore you, and I will tweet you or Tumblr you when I'm at a computer.
Something I always forget is that the, you know, international conversation. I always just think about it as just us talking here at this table.
If you leave an iTunes review on an iTunes store that isn't the US store, screen cap it and put it in the hashtag.
Yeah,
so we want to see it. We'll read them out. We adore you guys. That is all the time we have for tonight. Emily, are there any projects that you're working on that you'd like to tell us about? That you can tell us about?
I have some secret things I can't tell you about. I do a lot of audiobooks for young adults and children. So I have one coming out called It's Not You. No, It's Not Me, It's You. Very funny.
Classic.
That's probably all I can talk about right now.
It's all good.
The NDAs.
Those cursed
and
NDAs.
And where can the people go online if they want to find out more about you and your work?
I have a website, emilyiden.com, or my Twitter handle, at emilyiden.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Right, Emma, where can the people find you?
You can find me all over the internet at my name, Emma Fyffe, EmmaFyffe. I didn't plan very well, guys, when I agreed to do this after show. I'm not going to be here again next week because I will be in Salt Lake City at Salt Lake Comic Con. So if any of you guys are in the greater Salt Lake area and you want to come see me, I will be there with my co-hosts from my Sailor Moon podcast, Love and Justice. We'll be doing a panel, and I will also be hanging out all weekend long. Probably sort of assisting some voiceover talent to be determined, but it should be somebody pretty cool.
Oh man, I have to follow that? You can find me sitting on my couch, cuddling my dog and watching more Voltron. Atoys890 through all social media, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, or it'll be mostly wedding stuff happening.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. YouTube is mostly my face reacting to episodes of stuff.
It's
so
beautiful.
If you
want to
see
it.
That, you can subscribe there. Voltron, next week we are at 9 p.m. Pacific. We will be an hour earlier, so stay tuned for that. The Steven Universe After Show is back next week, Thursday the 1st at 8 p.m. So we're kind of doing a fun little science fiction double feature. Tune in for that. It is going to be super fun. And all the Rooster Teeth stuff is on alternating weeks. Check the schedule. We will let you know. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Curse my short arms!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.